You are about to listen to an episode of The Cypher before it was The Cypher. For our first 75 episodes, we were known as Outside the Lines with Rap Genius, and we had a slightly different format. In all honesty, our production value and sound quality today is much improved from these early episodes. That said, the content is so great that these shows are a valuable part of our archive. If you want more information about our transition, make sure to check out episode 76 with Ritz, which was our first one under the new name. To keep up to date on everything involving The Cypher, visit us online at thecyphershow.com or find us on iTunes. And now, without further ado, here's The Cypher before The Cypher.
Rap Genius. I don't underestimate anyone, so I'm always trying to be at optimum level, you know, in terms of going into battle.
Welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius. I'm your host, Sean Sotero, a.k.a. Same Old Sean. This episode, we have a sit-down with master battle rapper Loaded Lux. Coming straight out of Harlem, Lux first made a name for himself in the early 2000s on the popular Smack DVD series. He then had an undefeated run on 106 and Park's Freestyle Fridays before transitioning full-time into battle rap. He quickly rose to the top of the field, leaving behind classic battles in his wake, like the ones with Calico and the most recent one against Hollow the Don. In addition to being a top-tier battler, he's also a great recording artist. His most recent mixtape from late last year is called You Gon' Get This Work, hosted by Shaquille O'Neal. He's set to release his new album, Beloved Chapter 2, very soon. We talked to Lux about the ins and outs of battling, the history of Harlem, and what exactly the history was behind that controversial picture of Calico that he posted in their battle. As always on Outside the Lines, we bring you a special kind of audio footnote. Every time you hear this sound,
Rap Genius.
Go to rapgenius.com and search for OTL63. From there, you'll see audio, video, and more information to bring you further outside the lines. And now, here's our talk with Loaded Lux. So welcome to Outside the Lines with Rap Genius.
Dope.
I'm Same Old Sean here with Loaded Lux.
Loaded Lux.
One and only.
Righteous.
Thanks so much for coming by, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So we're coming off your big battle with Hollow the Don, the epic New Jersey battle.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the most memorable moment of that for you?
Most memorable moment. I'm in the moment, you know what I mean? In terms of letting the whole thing marinate, it's usually like when you're sitting back watching a video. For me, and I don't know if they, because totally online, it's not captured, but the entrance, man, the whole Panther layout. Yeah, that was it for me. I got some of the footage though, on our part. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Panther thing, because obviously you came out in a Panther outfit, and in interviews and in lyrics and all that, you've been big. Mm-hmm. You shout out Malcolm X, And so I just wanted to get into that a little bit. What you saw about the Panthers, if you or your parents remembered them.
Right. Well, no, in terms of me studying and different things and just, watching prominent figures of history, things that they did to surmount through injustices and things of that nature. Panthers were big on that, especially they came at a time period, very revolutionary time period, And they were young, too, So I was tuned into that, and I thought it would be a dope angle in regards to, battling Hollow, in terms of his content and his message opposed to mine, I thought that would be dope in terms of, contrast. So that was the whole thing behind that. And, just trying to say something, enlightening to a degree.
And it wasn't just the fashion, right? It's not just I dressed up like a panther. It was even in your battles, there have been very specific references to panther leaders. You had that line about Hoover and COINTELPRO and all the stuff the FBI did to shut the Panthers down.
Yes. So I just try to, give you fact, you know what I'm saying, in terms of history, you know. You can go back and do the research yourself, you know. But I always feel like when we have those forums and those stages, it's always, you know, things of substance should come up, you know, things, you know, meaningful, you know, to you know, what we propagating. Just keep people in tune and aware. So that was my whole thing.
Rap Genius.
Another writer you shouted out, and I just kind of wondered what you, how you came into his work and what you thought of it in interviews and stuff, was James Baldwin.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. James Baldwin, man. Descriptive, man. He was tuned into that, to that time period, man. Heck of a writer. And him just, you know, giving shedding light, you know, keeping something, you know, as far as how he's seen it, his synopsis on the whole, you know, period. You know what I mean? Definitely, like, these prominent figures, you know what I mean? I at least want to allow people to, you know, tune into what I'm tuning into so that you can do your homework yourself, you know what I'm saying? They say gurus, you know, usually they just, you know, point you in the direction that you need to be into, so.
That, I feel like that's a very, like, golden age hip-hop thing. Like, Tribe did that, right? They called the song Steve Biko. They didn't say who Steve Biko was.
Right. It allowed for you to, you know, just out of curiosity, well, you know?
Yeah.
You know, do you know who is that? And that comes in terms of, you know, how on a pulse you are, we are with one another. You know what I'm saying? And wanting to know more and different things like that. So yeah, man,
That's a lot of trust to place in your audience, man. That they'll hear this name and look up who, you know, Fred Hampton was, or you know, Bobby Seale or whoever.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. You know, with just having a being in a position of influence on what I think you have to be responsible for that. So, you know, if anything, you know, I have a son. So, you know, always, you know, even when you're not there on the set, you know what I mean, to have, you know, those constant conversations. You know, film is forever, audio is forever. It'll be around there, you know. So, you know, you'll get to it when you can. But when you get to it, you'll see how beneficial it is, you know, to your struggle.
Yeah. And you mentioned your son there. I know obviously one of your best known songs is about him.
Yes, yeah. True Love.
Yeah, produced. Give a shout out to my man Ock.
Yeah,
producer, man. On that track.
Shout out to Ock 2G on that thing. Yeah, man.
Early, classic. early supporter of Rap Genius.
Yes, man.
yeah. So how did Fatherhood, like, you know, I know you've talked about like what kind of influence it had on your writing or on your career and all that, but what kind of influence did it have on your music, like on your writing?
Yeah, just in terms of, you know, my content, you know me, with the convey, you know, I figure, you know, I was learning from a lot of people that I listened to, in terms of the predecessors and people that came before me. So I look at it as the way, you know, you can't help but be influenced to a degree, you know what I mean, but what you come across and what you're experiencing out here in the world, you know what I mean, being a parent and being, you know, one of the most significant figures in my son's life, you know what I'm saying? I would like for my work to, you know, at the same time, I can't be on a set with him to, you know, give him certain things, those lessons still be around in the content, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he changed my life totally and how I seen the whole scope of things as an artist. Man. You know?
And the song you did for him, Samples, Inception. I know.
Yes.
I know you're a big movie.
Yeah,
buff.
Hans Zimmer. Yeah, big love movies. Nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that was a mean score. Yo, it was just so visceral. When you hear that music, it's like cathartic. Like it takes me somewhere. So I just so happened, you know, 2G's did the music. Yeah, when he brought the sample to me, it was just like, wow. This so hits home, and not only that, it's so funny. In the movie Inception, it relays, you know, to his children. Every time the score comes up, he's in retrospect about, you know, his baby. So
yeah, that's amazing. I hadn't even thought about that. Totally right. Whole levels.
Yeah,
levels,
yeah.
what are some of your other favorite movies? Just, you know, two or three that you rewatch all the time.
Dang. Wow, man, they like children. Like I love them all. Dang, man. I don't know why I got this thing with this movie, Book of Eli. His brother, Denzel Washington. Yeah. I guess because he was just if you watch the movie, he's a man on a journey, and he refuses to let anything get in his way. He's just strictly tunnel vision all the way to the end. Like, he's, you know, diligent about his mission. So I think those aligns with me, you know what I'm saying? It really hits home. So I don't know. There's so many movies though, man. Depending on what you want, but some of those is just really, as far as my makeup and how I see this thing on a spiritual level, it's like some movies really touch base with me. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So I was reading an interview you did a while back, mm-hmm. and you were talking about something that I just hadn't thought about, which really, and I wanted to kind of get you to talk about this a little more, okay. and the pressure behind it. You were talking about how battle rappers, right, mm-hmm. Have to come up with new shit every time, mm-hmm. every single time they perform. You know, artists make a record, they perform the same 12 songs for a year.
Yeah.
Whereas every time you perform, if you even, you know, hint at repeating something you've said before.
Oh, man.
You know, your fans know everything you've said from, man. Like, Freestyle Fridays to today.
It's like blasphemy.
Yeah. Is that intense? How do you not repeat yourself?
Yeah, like they say, you never forget who you are to some degree, but it's like, you know your material, you know what I mean, as well. I mean, the fans definitely know the material, you know what I'm saying? So it's always a challenge, but that's just what I do, you know what I'm saying? I love what I do, I'm passionate about what I do, so, you know, it comes with the territory, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, definitely comes with the territory. You got to have that new material.
Yeah, and... When did you, I mean, I know for a lot of your fans, your history kind of starts with like the Smack stuff, the Smack DVDs. Maybe. How did you actually get into battling? Like, what are the real beginnings, even before the DVDs?
Oh, man, we was just doing it for sport. Like, I mean, it's still sport for me, but like, that was the thing to do, to have your name in a conversation. You know, this was happening at the, you know, high school parties, you know, rec center parties, you know, pool halls. Cypher was just always prevalent growing up in Harlem. You know, you can do like 125th Street, like DMX and them and drag on. Like, the lot, you should come down to Harlem and battle, man. And then get in the Cyphers. This is facts, you know what I'm saying? So you can always count on that to be a vicinity to where you can hone your skills at. I mean, dudes was coming from Brooklyn. I met Sirius Jones in Harlem. Them just coming through looking for battles and ciphers and stuff like that. So it was really going down in Harlem, you know. And, it was just a thing to do just for us to, you know, socialize, you know what I'm saying?
Rap Genius.
When did you first realize that, like, you know, everyone's doing this, but I'm pretty good at this?
After I seen really what the competition was, like a few losses, man. It took some war scars. So then you know what where the bar is set in terms of skill wise, and that's where you aim at. You know what I mean? Naturally. So after getting my ass handed to me, then coming back and then being still able to face off with them dudes, and then getting respect from my peers, I think that's when I'm like, okay, I'm crossing the threshold somewhat. Yeah.
And is it true that your very first battle in like elementary school or whatever was against Jay Mills?
Yeah, man. I went to school, you know what I'm saying, St. Charles Bar Mill. It was a game going on, and you know, just you rap. I rap too. Like, what's up? You know, and then us just facing off like right there in the hallway, you know what I'm saying? While the game's going on, like, you know, just. You know, had our own thing, you know? But yeah, first was right against Jay Mills. He was ready. He was ready.
Wow. Yeah, Mills, do you remember any lines from that battle?
Not at all. Not at all. I don't even know what I was rhyming what with. But no, Mills had like 5 battles, man. Like, it was going, I'm telling you, Harlem was putting it on. We did that.
How was it when stars would kind of come in and show up in battle? You were saying people like DMX or Dragon or The Lox or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what battles I've been around with. I know Cam was at one of my battles. Cam was there. Then this is going down the street. But no, man, it get big, man. I done missed a few, you know what I'm saying, with dudes that, you know what I'm saying? But it's always... that extra, you know, intensity gets added to the playing field when you know you got, you know, people of a certain status looking on.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Shout out to Diddy and Busta for being at Summer Madness.
Of course, yeah, I saw that.
Q-Tip too. Yeah, you know, it just, you know, makes for a better show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I wanted to bring that up for a second because it seems like a lot of, like, big name mainstream rappers mm-hmm. are big fans of the Battle Leagues. We know that, like, you know, Eminem famously watches a ton of battles. Drake, obviously. Jay-Z, who is, you know, alluded, you know, is a supporter of yours. Why do you think that is? And like Diddy and Buster showed up to the battle, the live battle.
No, I think what it is successful people admire competition. You know, they recognize the fight, you know, and in that, you know, you can't help but watch. It's like almost looking at, you know, you in the mirror. I get inspired and influenced, you know, by watching them do what they do. You know, it's you know, not a thing as to where they can look over and see us doing what we do and not, you know, be captivated at the same time and saying, wow, you know, you, empathy is just a natural thing, you know what I'm saying? So you can feel that energy, that rush, that everything that's going, you know, into, you know, these building blocks, man, these pieces, this talent, you know what I mean? So we see that in one another. And when you look on to another individual and you see their light, it's like, wow, I gotta tip my hat to them.
Rap genius.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so one of the things I know just from talking to folks around you is how intensely you prepare for battles.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like a boxing, almost like a boxing style thing for
no
you.
No games. I mean, 120%, man, tunnel vision, like, you know, straight on. Like, I got to block out everything, you know what I mean, to a degree. I need total focus. You know, I believe you get elevated results, you know what I mean, is how you go at your how you attack your goals, you know what I'm saying? You get, you know, those results that you're looking for. And for me, I always, you know, want to be on my best behavior every time up. So when people get to see those looks, you know, it was something that, you know, didn't waste their time and they grab something from it. So sometimes you gotta go, you know, collect that information. And the only way to do that, to really get something substantial, is you got to put the work in.
So what actually does a prep time consist of for you?
Oh, man. Well, it's based on different angles and different schemes you may come up with. I always say you got to know your opponent. The opponent really demands what duration is going into, you know, be put into the preparation. But always, I don't underestimate anyone. So I'm always trying to be at optimum level, you know, in terms of going into battle. That's my whole thing. Gotta be at optimum level. So, depends, you know. I gotta say it on the opponent, but usually I'm going hard, man. Strong 2 months in.
Man, 2 months?
Man.
Wow. Of just research and writing and getting in shape.
Just studying.
Studying.
Just studying. Yeah, just studying.
Yeah, I mean, you've certainly found some crazy stuff out.
it'd be like that. Yeah. It'd be like that.
I gotta ask about the Instagram. I got it. Where did that come from? What happened? First, for our people who don't know, can you tell them what I'm talking about?
Oh, in terms of Calico?
Yeah.
So, Calico had put up some pictures, I guess. Supposedly him and a friend was at at a barbecue or something like that, or having some fun somewhere. And, you know, collectively, you know what I mean? You know, because I keep my team with me. When I'm on it, they on it, you know what I'm saying? We go in at the same endeavors, and we constantly research every day, you know what I'm saying? And just in terms of information sake, you know what I mean? And this picture just striving the surface on Instagram. So when the picture surfaces on Instagram, it's a picture, you know, some foulness going on from the looks of things, you know. You got to check out, you know, that picture, Calico snapping a shot of, you know, his homeboy. I mean, they say what they say about the picture in terms of what he says. It was, you know, other things going on, but, you know, the proof is right there in the pudding, so to speak. But, so we caught it. And we caught, I think they tried to remove it, but we already had the file. We had the files. And, you know, I thought it was just a slick way to just go at it from that angle, just taking this guy out of his element, you know what I mean, with the whole, you know, tough guy thing and then showing this side of him.
Yeah. So what battle was the most difficult to prepare for? Where you're just like, there is nothing, what do I say? There's nothing on this guy, like.
I don't know. Maybe the Murder Mook one. Only because, you know, we're going into the Mook one, kind of didn't know what to expect, you know what I mean? So really couldn't premeditate anything. Anything that I was already going in there with, we already had, you know what I'm saying? And always talk about when you're in the room with an opponent, you know what I mean? And it's like fighting for space. It's fighting for energy. You know what I'm saying? The pendulum is constantly swinging, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to get, you know, the yays from the crowd and, you know, trying to, you know, we debating, you know? It's us raising arguments, you know what I mean, to get points. You know what I mean? So I think in the Mook bout, I was up against a formidable opponent I didn't know then, but at the same time, he was skilled at the same time in knowing, you know, how to position himself outside of just rhymes. You see, when you in that box, how we like to say, you know, there's a thing as to where you got to keep your cool, your composure, you got to stay poised, you know what I mean, in terms of having that poker face with your opponent. Yeah, it's like tricks of the trade, you know, because I can be at you, but, you know, if I feel like it has no effect, then that questions my confidence. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. How do you practice that? Like, how do you get good at having someone say just the worst stuff about you?
Tough skin.
2 inches from your face.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just not crack.
Yeah, you got a tough skin, man. You got to grow up joking on one another, things of that nature. Yeah, you know, being in the line of fire and just knowing how to, you know, rub it off. Plus, you got to know if I'm a New Yorker. Harlem, New Yorker. It's all about being in your cool, you know what I mean? Yeah. Keeping your, you know, how to say, safe face, you know what I mean? So you gotta have that. You gotta have that poker face.
Is there ever anything anyone said where you thought, wow, that's really over the line?
No, I'm probably so tuned into what I'm doing. I mean, I listen, you know, but, you know, I don't, you know, raised going to subjective about it. I may be like, that's a little crass. But I let the people see that, you know, in my rebuttal to it. So, you know, people probably go overboard, but I know it ain't gonna hinder me. Yeah. That's on them.
So when you're listening to you know, someone during a battle, are you thinking of like changing what you're gonna say? Are you trying to work in stuff that they say in rebuttals and the whole nine, like, when they're like, how much of what you'll say in a given battle is sort of like on the fly?
Oh man, if I can't see, my whole thing is premeditated murder. You know, I like to leave no stone unturned. You know what I'm saying? If we can, you know, improvise in the time of, oh yeah, for sure. I'll pick them shots. You know what I mean? Some shots in there on the Miles battle. You know what I'm saying? Whatever battle. I probably did it in but those battles were off camera though. Yeah, but for the Miles battle, we had to improvise, you know what I'm saying? Little things, you're throwing little shots. Yeah. But me, I'm a premeditated guy for the most part.
Awesome. And so we were talking a minute ago about, you know, famous artists who were into battle rap. And one of the most famous, more than most rappers, is Shaq. Who I know you built up a
big
good relationship with. Yeah.
Big bro.
Hosted your last mixtape, which was great.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Yeah,
you gonna get this work, man. Hosted by the big fella. You know, big bro, man. Big fan, man. He's damn near a connoisseur. He be tuning in the battles like crazy. Yeah, definitely tuning in the battles. And he commended me on this one. You know, he's, you know, still doing what he's doing. And, yo, man, anytime I need him, man, he'll be there. You know, that's the righteous thing. But, yeah, you know, people watch them battles, man. He's a Lotta Lux fan. He's, you know, he loves the content, you know, that we push. So, yeah he there.
That's awesome. And one sort of final battle-related thing. Which opponent of yours, like, surprised you the most with something that, like, you know, maybe they came up with that you weren't expecting or something like that?
I think this Hollow battle right here was surprisingly. I thought, because, you know, he bought out Calico's father, you know, and yeah, as you know what I'm saying, to play off, you know, my last battle, you know what I'm saying? So, and bringing Calico's father, I didn't know it was Calico's father, you know what I'm saying? But in him bringing him out, I thought it was, in the initial thought, you know what I'm saying, dope, you know what I mean? Like, to come with that. He probably could have, you know, done. He really could have, you know, outdid me with that move right there. And he just didn't elaborate on it. He could have really executed the whole scheme. You know what I mean? I mean, me knowing how I would have took it.
Right.
You know, I'd have really took that and ran with that. Yeah. But I thought that was dope. You know what I'm saying? And like, it came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it was interesting.
Very, very cool. And there are rumors floating around the internet about a follow-up with, you know, with Mook. What's the status of that?
Yeah, man. That's the fight the fight for the hometown hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to speak. You know.
Maybe we'll see it.
Yeah, it's looking like a go, man.
Wow.
Hopefully, you know what I mean. We stick it to the, you know, script. But I think it's on the works.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be.
Yeah. So, cool. Well, I wanted to talk about, you know, so the other side of your career, which is making songs.
Yeah.
Not the battle side. Obviously, you had the most recent mixtape that Shaq hosted. You have a new single with Illmind, which is great.
Yeah.
Love Illmind. Super,
man.
Super great guy. How'd you meet him?
Man, I met Illmind, I want to say through my main man. Ivan from the Justice League, but it's funny because I had met Illmind beforehand. I went to like a beat summit, like where they, you know, a lot of people meet up with the beats, and I met him there at Webster Hall. You know what I mean? And we just so happened to know the same counterparts. You know what I'm saying? So I think Ivan from the Justice League really brought that together. But used to get beats, you know, from him, you know what I'm saying, and emails and everything. We used to trade information like that. But that really put it in stone. One of the, like, dopest dudes, man. I mean, in terms of, you know, his way of seeing the music, man. He really just goes there, like.
Yeah.
Non-sample, like, he's just Illmind. Yeah,
rap genius.
I mean, he is. I mean, I knew when it was crazy, he told me he was, what, like, executive producing the new Mobb Deep record.
Yeah.
And I was like, anyone Havoc trusts that much? It's like...
Yeah. It gotta be something.
It's gotta be all right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the knock on battle rappers always is like, oh, they can battle, but they can't make songs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are definitely people are starting to prove that wrong. I think you know, Soul Kahn, who I'm a big fan
of. Shout out to Soul Kahn.
Starting to make good music. So how do you try to combat that stereotype?
Oh, man, put out good work. Bottom line, you can't change people's opinions on you. You got to earn that. You know what I mean? You got to earn that. So, you know, we just keep our content going through the musical vessel as well. You know, we stand on stage and we showcase our content. You know, we push on that platform. At the same time, we make that good music, you know, go in there and, you know, still be creative. So that's all. You know, you just got to put out good material.
Yeah. Do you foresee a time transitioning totally into out of battling and into recording, or
of course,
is that not
on
the table?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely already here. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got some things coming. And Beloved 2 is on the way. Yeah, Chapter 2. So, yeah, man. I mean, with the future holds for Loaded Lux, you know what I mean? I'm always, like I said, keep pushing my content, you know, through vessels that are available to me. You know what I mean? We always looking to expound on that also creatively, you know, taking some acting classes now.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, it's battle rap, so it's performance art already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, trying to take, you know, the craft to another level in terms of that. You know what I mean? Being a performer, entertainer. Yeah. So, yeah, man, I think, you know, it's no ceilings.
Nice. Get some movie roles going?
Yeah. You know? And I got a lot of respect for the craft. I love movies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I ain't going to play with it. I ain't gonna play.
That's amazing. So what is coming up? You have Beloved 2.
Yeah, Beloved 2, Chapter 2 is on the way. Music is sounding good. You know what I'm saying? Trying to see, you know, like say we do with the me and Mook situation. You know what I mean? Lion's Den is coming back, you know what I'm saying, officially. Mm-hmm. Keep it still that intimate setting where we could welcome, you know, the new young hungry artists that have something, you know, to, you know, give to the game, give back, you know, contribute to the culture, you know? Just, you know, taking my time with it, but at the same time, man, you know, moving, you know? And like I said, you know, trying to get into some roles. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're going to see what that holds. But I'm taking it, you know, one step at a time.
Nice. And one of the things about you and a lot of the people around you I've noticed who are from uptown, it's, you know, every rapper, every artist, you know, reps their borough, reps their city, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, at least, people from Harlem just kind of like, don't just shout out the name, but really know the borough and know the history and know the people and can say, oh, yeah, well, in, you know, in the 70s, this corner was like this, and now it's like this, and these are the people who are moving in and out.
Yeah.
Why is Harlem like that? What is it about that neighborhood?
Oh, man, well, for me, it's everything, you know. I'm a product of my environment totally, you know. I think in the energy of the set, you know what I mean? It helps to, you know, transition you, helps your growth, you know, to a degree. You know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, you know, and that's very true. You know what I'm saying? Parents, you know, dropped me off in Harlem, and, you know, it's been just my love ever since, you know? Just everything that goes into, you know, being and how it relates to how you have to live in the world, you know? It's, you know, fast-paced setting, which you got to be, you know, your P's and Q's, you know, attentive.
Yeah.
Gotta be attentive. You know, it's fast, you know, you don't get a chance to, you know, allow for things to marinate, you know what I mean? So you gotta, you know, put them into your pockets of time. You know, you gotta move a little bit faster in terms of digesting your experiences. And this is what makes, you know, precocious, you know, young men and women, you know, coming up in the town. It's fast, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I know about everything. You know, Harlem is, man, this is, especially if you're a people person, this is the spot to be, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, really the spot to be. Yeah. Nice.
And winding down a little bit, one thing I wanted to ask you was, like, in going back to battling for 1 second, I read something you said about the importance of the coin toss. It reminded me almost of, like, a football game.
Yeah.
Where, like, that's so crucial.
Yeah, man. Debate 101, you know what I'm saying? You know? Well, that's the last argument, you know, that's usually the last thing that's on the minds of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually how it goes. Like in history, man, whoever conquered, you know, hey, man, we got the last say on how the story went, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's all aligned. And, you know, you have both have, you know, solid arguments, but, you know, it's just, you know, happens. And sometimes, you know, based on the attention span of the consumer today or people today, you know, that plays a big role. A more major role, you know?
How do you mean?
The way people are receiving information, you know what I'm saying? It's just such a microwave age, you know? So your attention span is a bit smaller because you're receiving information at such rapid paces, you know what I'm saying? So holding on to what I said in the first round opposed to what somebody said in the third, it's like, yo, but that was so phenomenal the first verse, but did you hear the last verse? It's like, that's hanging on. That's right there. That's, you know, instant gratification. It's that time.
That's so interesting. And for an artist like you who, like, even, you know, even in the battles is so thorough and so, like, ties stuff together, do you feel you have to kind of fight against people's attention spans sometimes?
Oh, of course. Yeah. All the time, man. We were just doing some breakdowns earlier today. Always, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the fight. That's what everything we're doing in terms of that society and the world is built on. Influence, interest. You know, who can captivate the people?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm fighting with it every day. Shoot. I gotta keep me.
You know, so do you just kind of feel sometimes being like, you know, but don't you remember, don't you get it to the audience? I mean, you can't do that, obviously, but you kind of feel like doing that sometimes?
Yeah, man, but it's like, you know, you can bring them to the well, or to the water, but you can't make them drink, you know. See, it's for who's supposed to get it, you know, grasp it, and those will be the ones, you know, that take it. And that's why, you know, the pyramids go like this, you know? They move inward the higher up you go, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's not going to be on that level. But as they grow, you know, they'll get it. So, you know, it's forever. And hopefully, you know, when we all get to that space and that state, you know, we take from that time or that experience is the information we need to keep going on. Yeah.
Well, that's, thank you so much, Lux, for coming by.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate it.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing more of your breakdowns on Rap Genius.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. It's going to happen.
All right. Thanks a lot.
No doubt.
That was our talk with Harlem's own Loaded Lux. If you liked what you heard, make sure to find Outside the Lines with Rap Genius on iTunes and subscribe so that you'll never miss an episode. While you're there, leave us a rating. The more 5-star ratings we get, the better chance we have of continuing to get great guests like Loaded Lux. You can also find all our shows at our new website, OutsideTheLinesPodcast.com, and follow us on Twitter at OTL_podcast. Outside the Lines with Rap Genius is created and written by Sean Sataro.
You know, he bought out Calico's father.
The show is produced and engineered by Josh Cross at Crosstown Studios.
I think they tried to remove it, but we already had the file.
Our invaluable intern is Julia Hannafin.
She was just doing some breakdown earlier today.
This show was recorded by Drew Nagda.
But I thought that was dope, you know what I'm saying? Like, it came out of nowhere.
Our music is by Psionic.
Put out good work. Bottom line.
Make sure to join us in 2 weeks when our guest will be Dan Charnas, author of the superb history of hip-hop and business, The Big Payback. We'll see you then, Outside the Lines.
Thank you.
Nobody. Ball of water.